Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh. Yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. When we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen. So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point, then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go! Now listening to the Pancakes and Power Slam Show by Crave Wrestling on Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to follow Crave Wrestling on Twitter at Crave Wrestling and join the Facebook fan page Crave Wrestling.
Episode 213. Ladies and gentlemen, we are live and living Culligan, funky like a monkey in your wheel, the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. I am your host, Chris Featherstone, as always, here to have an amazing time on the show as we do each and every week, ladies and gentlemen. This week will be no different because we have the one and only, the indie sensation, one of the best independent wrestlers in the history of the entire world of the universe. This guy is so... he's so special. He has so much it factor that the WWE and other very, very known and very, very acclaimed promotions couldn't help but to notice his athletic prowess and his wrestling expertise. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, it is my pleasure to introduce fellow Ohioan, Mr. Johnny Gargano, O.H.
Hi, O. How you doing, man? I don't know if I can live up to that introduction you just gave me.
Man, I think you can. I think you already have, man. But, yeah, it's amazing to interview a fellow Ohioan, man. I've been doing this for over 4 years now, dozens of interviews from WWE and TNA and ROH, but I don't think I've ever interviewed anyone from Ohio, and it's great to interview.
That's shocking to me, actually. I'm shocked by that.
Yeah, you know, and the thing is, it's like, you know, there's not a lot of people from Ohio. I think probably where's Matt Cross from? Is he from Ohio?
He's from Ohio. Yeah, he's Cleveland, Cleveland boy, like me.
Okay, cool. Well, I've interviewed Matt Cross, so.
I was like, man, there's so many guys right now from Ohio that like are doing big things. Like, I mean, Matt Cross, of course, on Lucha Underground, and I mean, Dolph Ziggler. Me and Dolph Ziggler went to the same high school.
Really?
So there's that. Yes, there's that. Dean Ambrose, he's an Ohio boy. There's a big amount of Ohio human beings doing good stuff nowadays.
Yeah, Alexa Bliss is actually from my hometown.
Yep. So, yep, there you go. Alexa Bliss, Dana Brooke, or NXT people.
Yeah,
here we go.
Yeah, she's Cleveland too, right?
She is, yep.
Yeah, nice. Dana Brooke, yeah. That's a really good point. You know, Ohio is a really interesting state. And for those who don't know, the Macho Man Randy Savage was born in Columbus. Yeah.
Oh man, there it is. That's a random tidbit. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of, he was.
I met Macho Man Randy Savage once. I met him at a autograph signing. I was a young lad. I met him and I went up to him and he said, "What's your name?" And I said, "My name is John." And his reply was, "That's my name too." And he signed my autograph. And I was like, and dissecting this later on as an adult now, knowing that, like, number one, that's not his name.
Right.
Number two, you're telling a child that your name is John when I know you as Macho Man Randy Savage. To me,
right.
Your name is Macho Man Randy Savage. Your name is not John Macho Man. So, but I'll always remember that. That's my one interaction with the Macho Man Randy Savage, is that he told me his real name was John.
That is incredible. I think he just wanted to make you feel good as a little kid. Yeah.
He did make you feel good. But then he kind of confused me more than anything. I was like, oh, that's really what? I didn't know.
Right.
Feel like his name was John.
Yeah, because back then, you know, when you're a kid, it, you know.
Yeah, you don't know any better.
Then. Exactly.
Your first name is Macho Man. That's
exactly.
Your legal first name, Macho
Man.
Right.
That was on your birth certificate. Macho Man Randy Savage is on your birth certificate. And, you know, I grew up in the 80s, and the wrestling fan, being a wrestling fan in the 80s, you know, it was so real. It was just that whole, every wrestler was just larger than life. There was no separation. Kayfabe was just mountainous, and it was absolutely volcanic. And like you said, the Macho Man Randy Savage was who he was. The Ultimate Warrior, that was on his birth certificate. Hulk Hogan was on his birth certificate. You know, those are Andre the Giant was his birth name. You know, so it's like, you know, it was that type of feeling in wrestling. Is there anyone else that you can think of, like when you were growing up as a kid as a wrestling fan that you really emulated?
100% Shawn Michaels was my go-to guy. I believe, like, if you grew up kind of in the time period that I did, like, I was born in 1987 and I really got into wrestling in the 90s and whatnot. I believe if you, like, were around and watched wrestling a lot during the 90s, a lot of people who are wrestling now are heavily influenced by Shawn Michaels because he was such, like, a dominant figure of the 90s. And he was so, I easily one of the best wrestlers of all time, especially, like, he was very prevalent in the 90s. So I think that's a lot of people's answers.
Yeah,
Shawn Michaels, I used to put on his little outfits. My mom used to make me outfits of Shawn Michaels' little bedazzled attire and bedazzled hats and jewelry he used to wear. I've said this a lot, and it does hold true. Shawn Michaels' attire and his whole basically gimmick was that he was kind of a male stripper. Like, he was a sexy boy. So as a little 8-year-old boy, I was basically just dressing up as a male stripper and parading around my house, dancing around and stripping around. So you would think that really messed me up as an adult, but no, it made me even better, I guess. The one thing I do think about now, though, is if you aren't a wrestling fan and you saw me on Halloween, for instance, and I was walking around with these chaps on and this hat with diamonds all over it and this see-through kind of mesh shirt, like, what is going through your mind when you see this little 8-year-old boy walking around wearing that? You're like, oh, his parents dressed him up as a male stripper for Halloween. What's going on? Yeah, what is going on? So Shawn Michaels had a very positive influence on my life. Just a short answer there.
Yeah, and you know what's so interesting, because wrestling fans, and it's just, it really is an entirely different world, because, you know, if you want to be a wrestler, you know, stuff like that actually really helps you as a kid, because I've said this many times, you know, I write for Sports Illustrated and Fox Sports and written for a bunch of different highly reputable companies. And I say this with so many articles, and I've said this on the show so many times, characters, characters, characters. Wrestling is about characters and then wrestling. because we have to buy into who you are. You know what I mean? We have to buy into the gimmick, the character of who you are. And as a kid, if you understand the mannerisms and the nuances and the theatrics that comes with the character building of someone, that actually helps you as a kid understand the whole sexy boy and knowing the movements and things like that. That helps you. So it really was an advantage to you. Now, if you'd have been 34 years old doing that, you know, without, you know, being a wrestler, it would be a little odd, but thankfully.
No, I think it'd be even better, honestly.
You think it'd be better?
Yeah, 100%. I think like you were saying about the mannerisms and so on, I think that's the best compliment I get anymore is when parents come up to me and they say like, oh, my kid watches you on NXT, and then they run around the house and act like you. I'm like, that's amazing to me, because that's just, for me, that sort of stuff is not lost on me yet. The sort of stuff where I'm like, man, it's really wild that like I was a little kid and I was running around and acting like Shawn Michaels, and now little kids are running around and acting like me, and like that's mind blowing to me. Like those are, I'm sure some guys are like, oh, you know, it's just what happens. But for me, as a wrestling fan, my whole life, I'm like, that's like the coolest thing ever. That's insane.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that so much, because I love when someone's been in the business for so long. I've said this before. I interviewed Matt Sydal last year, and he's the same way. He's like, man, you know, I'm still a mark. You know, I'm still a big wrestling fan. I've been doing this for so long. You know what I mean? And I love that. I really, really do.
That's why I like when people come up to me, like if they're a wrestler, they come up to me and they say like, oh, like, I don't mean to be a mark, I'm going to get a picture with you. I'm like, dude, we're all wrestling fans. Mm-hmm. We're all marks to an extent. Like, we're all wrestling fans. I've never lost that part of me. Like, I don't think you should lose that part of you. If you've been wrestling for 20 years, I think it's really important to remember that you are a wrestling fan. I still am a wrestling fan. I watch WrestleMania. I'm a wrestling fan. I want to see matches. When I'm backstage at shows and I watch the show, I'm watching it because I'm a wrestling fan. Like, that's... And we're all marks to some extent. So, I mean, it's such a taboo term in this day and age to be a mark, but I wear it as a sense of pride.
Yeah, I love it. I totally agree with that. Especially as a wrestler who's, you know, been acclaimed, who's been around the world and has done so much in the wrestling business. And, you know, that's great. And even with that, even 10, 15 years from now, you know, being in those high quality matches and just that feeling and that exhilarating feeling and coming out to WrestleMania, still being a fan, you know, that's like the biggest high, you know, that's absolutely amazing. And not coming out and saying, you know, I've been doing this for 15 years now. Oh, it's just another pay-per-view. It's just another WrestleMania. I think that's when, because there's so many people who are really invested as fans, and people can see that, you know, exude in the ring if you come in and still think that it's just a job. I've been doing it for so long. I've got seniority. It's just another job. You know what I mean? But if you still are a fan of the business, they can see that in your actions. They can see that in your wrestling. And that's where the feeling comes from. And that's when it's infectious. And fans can see that and they feel it. And that's why I respect that so much. And I think that every wrestler should have that mentality and that psychology going into a match.
Absolutely. I think when it gets to the point where you're not wrestling with your heart, then things start to go south. I think you always have to wrestle with a sense of pride, a sense of passion. Every single time I step in a ring, I have pride in my work. I take pride in what I do, and I try to, I mean, I know this is cliche to say, but it is true. It doesn't matter if there are 20 people in attendance at an indie show I go to, or I'm in an NXT taping where there's like thousands of people. It doesn't matter. I'm going to give the people their money's worth. I make it a point to give the people their money's worth. If you're going to have a personal interaction with me, if you're going to have a interaction with me in the ring, or you're going to have an interaction with me at a table, or you're having an interaction with me walking on the street, I try to treat everyone like a human. I kind of want my lasting memory to be that I was just a good dude. so mm-hmm. I just try to be a good dude to everybody. I want everyone who sees me live, who sees me on TV, or sees me walking the streets of Cleveland, Ohio, to have a good experience with me. That's kind mm-hmm. of a sense of pride I take in myself.
Yeah, that's absolutely awesome. I agree with that wholeheartedly. So what was it? I mean, you said that you were a wrestling fan. You grew up a wrestling fan. What was it that made you think in your head, like, okay, I'm not, this is my path. I'm not going anywhere else. I know for a fact that I want to be a professional wrestler. Was there a match? Was there someone, you know, as a kid who kind of, you know, challenged you to do it? What was that moment?
I'd point to, I mean, like I said earlier, Shawn Michaels is my go-to guy. So I'd point to his entire almost, you know, his whole 90s run as a big selling point for me, but also like the WCW Cruiserweights were another big selling point for me. But I was a big fan of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I was a big fan of Power Rangers. I was a big fan of Batman. I was a big fan of things like that. And that was kind of my career choice growing up. I was like, I want to be Batman. I want to be a Power Ranger. I want to be a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. And unfortunately, those aren't real life things. But I can put on a costume and I can go out and fight bad guys in a professional wrestling ring. So that kind of became my goal. I was always in certain, like when Power Rangers was hot, I was all about that. And then before wrestling got really hot, I started getting into wrestling and I kind of saw it. And I would always dress up in costumes. Like I said, the Power Rangers and Ninja Turtles or Batman, I put on those costumes and I pretend to do that sort of thing. I put on a wrestling costume when I got into wrestling and I actually realized, oh, this is something you can actually do in front of a crowd. Oh, that's pretty cool. So I started going to indie shows when I was, very young, probably like 8 or 9. So I started going to indie shows and there was actually an independent company that approached my dad. My dad has a catering company, has a big parking lot. So a company approached my dad about running a show in his catering company in his parking lot. My dad knew I was a big wrestling fan, so he was like, yeah, sure, my son would love that. They were even like, oh, like maybe we'll let him get in the ring and like roll around a little bit. And he's like, oh, awesome. So they have the show. I'm able to get in the ring before the show and roll around and get in the ring. And I think the first time I stepped in the ring, I was like, oh, man, I really want to do this. So they kept running shows behind my dad's catering company. And then they kind of started to show me a few things here and there, which I wouldn't recommend now being in wrestling, showing a 8-year-old boy how to do some things. But it really benefited me greatly because I ended up meeting my trainer who started training me when I was like 13 years old. So I started training at a very, very young age. And I've been doing this ever since then. So when people ask me how long I've been wrestling, it's like, yeah, I started when I was 17, 18, really traveling around and wrestling a lot. But I started training really when I was 13, and I actually had my first real match in front of a crowd when I was 8 years old. So mm-hmm. in some semblance, I've been in wrestling for almost 20 years in
wow.
that aspect. So it's
yeah.
pretty wild when you think about it. But yeah, so I've been wrestling like 20 years, so it's been a very long time. I'm a grizzled
yeah.
veteran at this point.
Yeah. and still under 30. That's the crazy part.
Yeah.
That's absolutely amazing. So it was around 2005 when you started wrestling for Cleveland All Pro, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So I don't remember exactly personally when I remember following your work, but I think it might have been around that time. I used to get Cleveland All Pro here in Columbus, and I remember watching you and Josh Prohibition, Matt Cross, just a bunch of different names as far as I remember.
Yeah.
And then eventually Brody Lee, Marion Fontaine, Gregory Iron. Just a bunch of you just really honing your craft in Cleveland All Pro. Explain that experience to me, because there was a lot of very legendary names that went through Cleveland All Pro.
There was. It's wild. You know, Cleveland All Pro Wrestling was run by JT Lightning, who was my original trainer. He's the guy I mentioned that I met when I was like 13 years old and started training me. So a lot of guys came and went through there. you mentioned Josh Prohibition and Matt Cross. Those are probably the two most notable names outside of me that have trained there and that JT trained. I remember my first real big match I felt with a name was with Matt Cross. And it's funny now because he's one of my better friends and he's going to be at my wedding party in September. But it's just it's funny how things grow because I remember when I was getting ready to wrestle him, I was like, oh, man, it's Matt Cross. It's M-Dog 20. And now, you know, we've wrestled each other hundreds of times at this point just because, you know, we both train at the same place. But Cleveland All-Pro Wrestling really helped me grow up because I got the chance to wrestle so many good guys there when I was so young. I was 18 years old, and I was wrestling guys like Nigel McGuinness and guys like Alex Shelley and guys like Christopher Daniels and guys like, you know, things goes on and on and on. Like, if you watch a guy on Monday Night Raw, 9 out of 10 times, he's probably been in a Cleveland All-Pro Wrestling ring. People don't realize that. Like, CM Punk wrestled for Cleveland All-Pro Wrestling. Yep. Hulk Hogan wrestled for Cleveland All-Pro Wrestling. AJ Styles wrestled for Cleveland All-Pro Wrestling. The list goes on and on and on. So much good talent came through there, and I think it's really undervalued how many people actually went through there. But, yeah, the experience there was invaluable. Being able to get in the ring with a guy is so talented really made me the wrestler I am today, and I don't think I would have gotten as, I guess, people think I'm good, but I don't think I'm that good. But people think I'm good, so I don't think I would have gotten as good as I am today if it wasn't for Cleveland All-Pro Wrestling.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, I was very into. Well, first of all, I mean, I just wanted to support you know state wrestling company. So I was a big fan of that too. And about 99 or so, I was actually invited by a couple of indie wrestling companies to actually start training to become a wrestler. And that was a big crossroads in my life because I was about to start doing it around 99. But I didn't, but I did want to continue to be a fan. And now, you know, I make money by writing about it, but, you know, but yeah. So,
your body probably feels a lot better too.
Yes. I'm sure it does. Yeah. So, you know, I'm sure that, it was that decision, and I'm going to be a doctor next year. So, you know,
oh, congratulations. You can help me
thanks,
out when
man.
I'm messed up.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Well, mine will be from a mental standpoint. It'd be psychology. So,
okay, then hopefully I don't see you then.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The mental part, not so much. Like, yeah, well, you know, I don't want to see Chris in that way. You know, maybe a couple of pointers of how to go through life and things
like
that.
Yeah. I'm kind of under the understanding that everyone in wrestling is kind of a little bit crazy to begin with. So you should have a lot of clients because I think everyone who gets into wrestling is willing to do this to their body is got to be a little bit insane in some part of their mind. So, you know, you probably have a big clientele.
Yeah. I would agree with that 100%. Just to spend, you know, 20 years of your life just, you know, beating your body up for the sake of cheers and jeers. I mean, to me, I think that that's crazy, but I think that that's so selfless as well, though. You know, I think that that's
so
giving.
It is in some aspect. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's so giving. I mean, you're at the end of the day, you're risking your body to please other people who want you to just get messed up. You know, so it's, you know, so you're sitting there and every single match you want to give your best. And that's, you know, that takes bumps, that takes, you know, potential injury every single time you step in the ring. So I applaud you in that sense, because that's one of the things that, you know, there was a couple times where I was offered, even a few years back, I was at B-Dubs and someone came up to me and said, yeah, man, I like your build, man. You know, what do you think about coming up, you know, to I think it was some small town in Ohio. Yeah. So, yeah. And it was, and again, I was still highly thinking about it, but you know, now I have two small children. I've been married for almost 6 years, so I decided to take the little bit more healthy route.
Yeah, it was a good call on your part. Good decision. As someone who's been wrestling for as long as I am, I can tell you that you made the right call.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. But yeah, I definitely, like I said, I appreciate everything that someone like you do, especially, you know, growing up and making your name in the indie scenes. Now, I respect people who have done indies. I'm not a big fan of people going into a big named or highly recognized company like ROH or TNA or NXT or WWE say, hey, I've been in the indies for so long, you know, I should already have a spot. You know, what are your thoughts on that?
No, I think everyone needs to earn their spot. I think you need to pay your dues wherever you go. It doesn't matter how long I've been doing indies for. I know if I wrestle for NXT, like I don't expect anything. I don't expect to be treated differently. I expect to be treated like everyone else. You know, that's just how I'm used to operating. I don't want preferential treatment. I like to outwork people. I like to show people that I work hard and I'm kind of a workhorse and I can do whatever is necessary. I think, you know, being an indie guy, you do have some merit. You have, especially if you've been doing it for a long time and doing it successfully. Mm-hmm. I talked to Gabe Sapolsky about this, and this was his speech he gave me when I signed my first contract with Dragon Gate USA a couple of years ago, and I agree with it, and it's true. I always had the mindset where I wanted to do everything I possibly could on the indies or where I was ready to move on. I was a fan of independent wrestling. I still am, but I want to do everything I possibly could. And Gabe compared it to being a doctor. You can't just go and start operating on people and be successful at it. That's not how it works. You have to go to school. You have to learn your craft. Being on the indies is like going to school. It's learning your craft. And then when you're ready to go, you're ready to go and you're ready to be a doc. You're ready to be a doctor. You're ready to move on. You're ready to be a star because you know how to carry yourself. You know how to do it because you've experienced everything you possibly could on the indies. So that was always my mindset. I wanted to experience it all. And then when I was ready to go, I was ready to go. I feel like I still have a little bit more left to do, but things are working out now where I can, you know, I can wrestle for NXT. I can wrestle for everywhere else. And everyone wins. It's the best of both worlds. So I'm extremely lucky. And I'm very happy how things are turning out right now. So it's a very exciting time in professional wrestling.
Yeah, I agree. It's so many amazing opportunities. So you're a relatively smaller guy. What, about 5'10", a little under 200 pounds, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
So that's usually typically a smaller guy. But there's some, you know, of course, that can be an uphill climb as it's been, you know, throughout, you know, the course of professional wrestling. But to me, it seems like that can cause an extra layer of drive, you know, to someone of your stature to really, you know, prove people wrong and ascend from a junior heavyweight, cruiserweight, light heavyweight, so to speak, to a heavyweight, so to speak, status. How is it, you know, being, you know, your frame and your size and, you know, being that person that is usually is kind of relegated in many people's eyes to a cruiserweight or a junior heavyweight? How does that drive you to reach that heavyweight status and you know, go against people like all of the, for instance, like you've beaten, I did some research on just all the world champions that you've beaten. You from ROH, the previous ROH champions you've beaten is Michael Elgin, David Richards, Roderick Strong, Kevin Steen, and Adam Cole. The previous TNA champions that you've beaten have been Eric Young, Chris Sabin, and Austin Aries. And the previous WWE champions you've beaten has been Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, and of course Seth Rollins, Tyler Black. So you've beaten a list of world champions, you know, even at your stature, usually known as a junior heavyweight, so to speak. But you can show people that you can go and you can be up there with the higher top echelon people. Does your size and just the perception of your size, does that motivate you?
Oh yeah. My whole life people have been telling me that I'm too small to do things, especially in wrestling. And when I told some members of my own family even told me that I was too small to be a wrestler when my parents told them I was going to be a wrestler. They're like, he's never going to make it. Look how small he is. So that's always been kind of a driving force for me. But I feel like I wouldn't have this work ethic if I was a bigger guy. I don't know. That's just me. I feel like I've always been I'm kind of an underdog, and I like the underdog role. I like when people don't expect me to do certain things or make it certain places or overcome certain things. I like that aspect. I like when people look down on me because it means I can just work harder and prove them wrong, honestly. I mean, especially in wrestling, it's considered such a big man sport. There are humongous people in it. Trust me, there are huge dudes. And then here I am, who, like you said, 5'10", a little under 200 pounds. Like, it's a small guy, but you look at someone like Daniel Bryan, who is exactly my size. We've been in the ring together. We're exactly the size. He may be a little shorter than I am. And he was able to go out there and overcome everything. And he had his WrestleMania moment. And WrestleMania was basically about him that one year. Like, it's crazy.
Yes.
He showed the world that size doesn't matter. And I don't think size matters. I think anyone can be believable. I think anyone can overcome things. And I think that's a great story for people to look out to, man. I can't control how big I am. I can't. I was made 5'10". That's just my genetics. My dad owns a catering company, and my mom's a hairdresser. My dad is not a football player. My mom is not a track athlete. I don't have the best genetics. I was not blessed with that. But what I was blessed with is the ability to overcome. I was blessed with the ability to work harder than people. And people believe in my work. That's another thing. I think if you are a smaller guy and you're not believable, that's one thing, but people believe in me. And I think I'm very relatable. People see themselves in me. And that's kind of a unique quality I have, is my quality to relate to certain people, and for certain people to kind of see themselves in me and see, like, they can kind of relate their life to me if something's not going their way or they need to overcome something. I feel like certain people can do that when they look into my work. And I take that as a sense of the pride. I think I wouldn't want to be bigger, if that makes sense. I wouldn't want to be, I mean, I'm sure my life would be easier if I was bigger, but I wouldn't want to be bigger. I think I was made this way for a reason. And, I've shown that I can make it work.
Oh yeah, I totally agree with that. I think that's an awesome assessment, because even in those cases, you know, your character can be much larger than your frame, if that makes sense. So people can buy into the character of Johnny Gargano, you know, and they've done it before. You know, someone, like I said, someone like you, even mentioned, you know, Daniel Bryan. Someone you even said is a little smaller than you are, but he's so gigantic when it comes to the yes movement. It makes him a giant, you know, because so many people are buying into the character of Daniel Bryan that the size isn't even looked at. It seems like he's a super heavyweight because of so many people buying into the yes movement, you know, and people chant Johnny Wrestling when you come out. You know, and that just makes your size not even a non-factor. It makes it a non-factor because so many people, because Johnny Gargano, Johnny Wrestling is huge, and the character is huge, and that trumps.
I mentioned earlier, like Chris, Shawn Michaels is my favorite wrestler. I also love Chris Jericho as well, and they're both smaller guys. And as a child, I never looked at a Chris Jericho or a Shawn Michaels and be like, oh, they're really small. I don't like, I never thought about how big they were ever. It never crossed my mind. I never saw a big guy and said like, oh, I like the big guy because he's a big guy. I saw Shawn Michaels. I saw Chris Jericho. I saw their characters. I saw how they wrestled and how good they were. And I was like, oh, I like those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I never once thought about, oh, Shawn Michaels is a little under 6 foot or 6 foot, or Chris Jericho is 5'10". Never thought about that at all. And I think that's kind of the thing. Like, people put too much stock in how big certain people are. Just focus on their ring ability, focus on their characters, focus on their charisma, and just let yourself believe. Like, that's all you need to do. Just believe and just let yourself be overcome by, you know, the art of professional wrestling.
Yes, the art of professional wrestling. I absolutely love it. So who are some legends in your career that have given you some really sound advice?
I'd say some of the best advice I've been given is probably the guy I think is the smartest guy in professional wrestling and does not get as much credit as he deserves, and that's William Regal. William Regal is a genius. I like some of the things he says and some of the little nuances of things he little tidbits of advice he's given me over the years has been amazingly beneficial. From the first time I met him probably 4 years ago, I still take advice that he gave me 4 years ago to this day, and I get to see him a decent bit now with NXT and whatnot, but yeah, I think he is one of the smartest men in professional wrestling. He is just so precise and so outside the box with certain things. I think he is my number one choice on any advice I've been given.
Nice. Yeah, that's you're not the only one that I've talked to that have named, you know, that has named William Regal as that guy, and I can definitely see that. I was a big fan of Breaking Ground on the WWE Network, and I saw that with Regal. Just a really, it just seemed like he's a calmer guy, but he just demands respect from, you know, the expertise that he has. And just the ability to, you know, create that art, just to help someone paint that canvas, and I think that is awesome, you know, when it comes in the business. So you're from Ohio. You still live in Ohio?
Still live in Cleveland, Ohio.
Awesome. So how's the travel? Because you do a lot of shows and different companies, of course NXT and Evolve. You're still with AIW as well?
Yep.
Okay, so you do quite a bit of shows within different companies. How is the travel? Is it who's usually your go-to person to quote unquote ride along with? No pun intended to the WWE Network, or maybe a little bit. But yeah, so who's your ride along buddy? And how was traveling up and down the roads nowadays? I'm sure it was, I don't know, but I would make the assessment that it was a little bit tougher probably 10 years ago or so, because I'm sure the money was a lot tougher, so it was probably tougher to travel. So how was it now?
It's a lot better now, honestly, because I fly a lot of places. I fly everywhere anymore. Like, I don't get in a car that much just because a lot of places I work for aren't really drives away. So normally I fly anymore, which is great. I mean, it can get hectic. It can get stressful. Like this weekend, I was in California for family stuff, and then I took a red eye last night, got in Cleveland today, and then tomorrow I'm flying to Orlando for NXT TV tapings this week. And then I get home. Then I am getting in a car and driving 4 hours into Pennsylvania on Saturday. And then, like, it just depends on the week you catch me, honestly. Like, but most of the time it's three different cities, three different flights. Or if it's international, if I'm going to England, I'm flying somewhere, then flying from there to England. Or like, I've got it down enough anymore where I'm pretty decent at traveling. But if I do get in a car, or if I do fly anymore, luckily some places, my fiance Candice LeRae can, if we're on the same show, we can fly together, which is always awesome, because like when you fly somewhere with your fiance, it's almost like you're not even really leaving home. Like your home is traveling with you. So that's always great. If I'm in a car, I'd say, it'd probably be with Gregory Iron. He's another fellow Cleveland guy. He's been my go-to, drive guy for a long time. Since we first basically started. So I've been driving with Gregory Iron for, feels like almost 10 years at this point, but it's not that. But so Gregory Iron is my go-to travel guy. I've been driving with him for many, many years.
Oh, that's awesome. So real quick, sports teams, who do you like? So pro basketball.
Cleveland Browns, Cleveland Indians, Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm unfortunately a diehard Cleveland sports fan.
Oh, man, that has to be tough.
I know, it sucks. Might be good this year. With the Cavs, it might be good this year, but I'm not holding my breath given everything.
Yeah, that's true. You know, it's funny. I kind of span the globe when it comes to. I mean, I love sports. I write sports, but I kind of span the nation when it comes to different teams. For pro basketball, I'm a Bulls fan because I followed Michael Jordan. You know, back in the late '80s when they were going against Detroit and things like that. So around 88 or so, I became a Bulls fan. As far as college basketball, huge Duke fan. And it was 1990s when I became a Duke fan. So it's been 26 years doing their feud with UNLV. Duke. And then I'm a Tennessee Titans pro football fan. That's because I grew up a San Francisco fan, just because I really liked Joe Montana. And then I'm a huge Ohio State Buckeyes fan. More than anything, Yeah. So I'm a Titans fan because of Eddie George, actually. When Eddie George went to Tennessee, I just started becoming a Titans fan. At that time, Steve McNair was really big. It was the quarterback. And so I was – no, actually, when he came in, I think still Warren Moon was there, if I'm not mistaken. But
a long time ago.
Yeah. He – 96, I believe it was, when Eddie George came in. 95 or 96.
How do you feel about the Titans trading out of that spot? Probably loved it.
Yeah. I was very leery of malarkey, but I think we got like six big we got some trades. We had like around six big signings this year. So
you guys are
really
looking good.
Really,
you guys are on the right path.
Yeah. Finally. I think we won like two or three games last year. So, I mean, it was pretty embarrassing.
You won one less than the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah. So it was
one less.
Quite embarrassing. And we lost against Cleveland. So it was.
Yeah,
it was It was quite
Johnny Manziel beat you guys, which is crazy.
Yes. that was. Yeah, and that was tough. That was tough to endure as a Tennessee Titans fan that we lost against the Johnny Manziel. That was
You got a good quarterback now, at least. Marcus Mariota will be good. So you guys will be set.
I think he'd be great. It would just do my soul well if we get Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, like just.
You never know.
Oh man,
you never know.
Oh goodness, that was talk about a mark out moment. That would be a mark out moment if we got just the Ezekiel Elliott and Marcus Mariota pairing to me is money.
It would be really good.
That would be very exciting. So, yeah, your Brownies. I think it's just another year in the woodshed for you guys.
Oh yeah, we're not going to do good this year at all. And I'm planning, and that's fine. I mean, I think they all know they're not going to do good this year either. But I don't know, the draft is this Thursday, so I'm holding out hope they at least get some, they make the right picks this year and get some good guys, but the past has not shown that is going to happen. But I have faith in Hugh Jackson, so we'll see what happens. I'm sure I'll be very angry on Thursday, but it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's one of those things that's become numbing to Cleveland Browns fans of disappointment. So who is your favorite wrestler today to watch?
My favorite wrestler today to watch? I'd have to say I'm going to do the Homer pick here and say my fiance Candice LeRae. I'm not just saying that because she's my fiance. I'm saying that because I believe she's one of the best wrestlers in the world, male or female. And I absolutely enjoy watching her wrestle. So she's my favorite. And then if I'm going off track a little bit, I'm probably going to say I see a lot of NXT matches anymore. So, I mean, Finn Balor is always a pleasure to watch. He's amazing. Jordan and Gable, if we're going tag teams, they're fantastic. I love watching them work as well. They're fantastic. And I've been in the ring with both of them. And they're both amazing. They're both absolutely fantastic. So hopefully I can get in the ring with them again soon. There's so much good talent, man. Like, it's crazy. Like, I mentioned how crazy 2016 is, and it is crazy, but there's so much good guys. There's so many good guys in NXT. There's so many good guys all over the world. I mean, a guy like Zack Sabre Jr., who's a fantastic guy. A guy like you mentioned, Ricochet, like Prince Puma, who's fantastic. I mean, there's so many good guys who are they're getting a lot of good attention nowadays, too, which is great. They're getting a lot of good pub. And indie wrestling, I think wrestling as a whole is in a boom period. And I think it's taken off. So it's a great time to be a wrestling fan.
I totally agree with you. It was a pleasure to interview Ricochet last year because he's just like you as far as just a mark, you know, and he says, man, I just sit around and play video games and just love wrestling, you know, and like, that's what, you know, he says that he does. And that's just amazing really to just really be a wrestling fan. He said that. You know, Christopher Daniels, I interviewed him last year too. And he's, you know, he's been in the business, you know, 25 years almost. And he's the same way, you know, he's like, I still love it. I'm still a big fan of the business. And I love what you said. Just, this is such a boom period. You know, WWE is having a global cruiserweight series, you know, that has the opportunity to expose the people, you know, to people like Zack Sabre Jr., and, you know, just other names, you know, like you said, Ricochet, like Will Ospreay, you know, Rich Swann, you know, there's so many names. I know from, you know, your experience, you've had some good matches against Swann. And just the incredible amount of talent that is just permeating the wrestling universe right now is just absolutely, absolutely amazing. So, to bring it down a little bit from a somber perspective, and then we'll close on the uprise. So unfortunately, we lost one of the legendary women's figures in pro wrestling history, Joni Lauer, aka China. So, you know, she was definitely one of the most influential women in the entire business. She really. You know, her theme song was, you know, don't treat me like a woman, don't treat me like a man, don't treat me like you know me, treat me for just who I am. And it really allowed, you know, women to really thrust into the wrestling scene from not just being labeled as women and just being in this corner, but being with the guys. And it's so interesting because I know that you actually wrestled your fiance before. And, you know, it's great. And just explain to me just your thoughts on China's legacy and the indelible mark that she's made in the business.
I mean, it's really unmatched. I mean, I remember watching her when I was growing up, and I never once thought that China is a girl and can't win the Intercontinental title.
Mm-hmm.
Never once crossed my mind. I never thought that, oh, why is a girl wrestling for the Intercontinental title? Because it didn't matter to me. It was China, you know? And I believed that China could beat up Chris Jericho. I believed that China could beat up Eddie Guerrero. And that says nothing about Chris Jericho or Eddie Guerrero, because Chris Jericho is one of my favorite wrestlers, and Eddie Guerrero is one of the best wrestlers of all time. It says nothing about their size either. It just says that I think that speaks so much more for type of performer that China was. China was very believable in a time period where it was a very male-dominated company and a very male-dominated industry. You didn't see a lot of, you never saw females mixing it up with males. You never saw that happen. But when China did it, it was believable because it was China. And I think China will always be remembered as the first person to do that. And I think her mark on professional wrestling is going to last forever and live on. And I mean, I'll say when I was younger, China was an announcer wrestler. I mean, I think she spoke to females all over the world. She gave them mm-hmm. something to believe in. And I mentioned earlier about characters and being able to relate to some people and being able to invest in some people. I think a lot of little girls and a lot of females as a whole, whatever they were dealing with their life, were able to relate to China and feel her strength and feel how strong her character was and live through her. And I think that's going to live on forever.
Well said. Absolutely. So let's end it with some fantasy booking. So WrestleMania 33 is next year in the Citrus Bowl, Orlando, Florida. So let's start off with the Royal Rumble. So somehow, you come in as a babyface, you're in the Royal Rumble, and somehow some heel costs you the Royal Rumble, your WWE title spot, and that ends up into some lengthy feud from January that culminates at the WrestleMania Spectacular, the spectacle, the grandest stage of them all. So first of all, who was that heel? And tell me a couple of things that will happen between January and April that will kind of spice up the feud and further have the fans invested in it.
If I'm going, man, it's so hard because I'm going off real life right now, and I'm going off what's actually happening on television. You could very easily say, could be me and Chris Jericho, because I was a big fan of Chris Jericho growing up. I looked up to him. I idolized him. One of my first concerts was Fozzy, and I only went to it because of Chris Jericho. So Chris Jericho was a guy I kind of patterned my whole career off of, almost outside of Shawn Michaels. He was my inspiration. He was my go-to guy. So to be able to wrestle him would be an honor. It'd be a dream come true, and you can almost build the match as such, and you can show clips of kind of like how when Chris Jericho wrestled Shawn Michaels, you showed how alike they were, and you showed, you know, how Chris Jericho idolized Shawn Michaels growing up and things like that. You can almost do the same thing for me and Chris Jericho, just kind of in that role. So that would be amazing, I think. That would be awesome for me because that'd be a dream come true. Another scenario, which could be a different one, would be, I'd say, me and Kevin Owens, because me and Kevin Owens traveled a decent bit together. We were in England together. We were in Germany together. We kind of became friends over that time. And he's still a guy I talk to this day. And he's still a guy that, whenever our schedules align, like I be able to come in contact with. And, like he's awesome. He's one of the best wrestlers, going today. And I am so happy for his success because he deserves it. But he's a guy I think that, we've had a few singles matches, and we had a very notable one at PWG that he spoke about on Chris Jericho's podcast, actually, where he talked about William Regal being in attendance and whatnot. And so, like, I think that could come back to that. We were a tag team called the Panda Express once. We never actually teamed up. Big, long thing. There's a T-shirt available, ProWrestlingTees.com. Go check it out. But, yeah, so there is, you know, there's a world of possibilities, but I think Chris Jericho or Kevin Owens, I think, would both be great heels to go up against.
Nice. I absolutely love it. I like both scenarios. Even to be honest with you, even more the Jericho thing, because I think the backstory can really make that a nice, you know, 2.5 month or so feud. And yeah, I love it. I think that would be an amazing idea. So let us know where we can find you in the coming weeks.
You can find me all. I'll give you my Twitter. It's at Johnny Gargano. I'll give you my, Instagram. I have an Instagram. I use it sometimes. It's Instagram.com/TheJohnnyGargano. The regular at Johnny Gargano was taken by some guy. I don't know him. You can find me there. You can find me this weekend. I will be in Pennsylvania. You can find me on there for Legacy Pro Wrestling. And then I update my schedule a lot on my Twitter. So pay attention to that, and I will let you know where you can come out and see me live in your area.
Fantastic. Really, really enjoyed myself, Johnny. And I knew that this is going to be one of my favorite interviews. I've interviewed dozens of people with the past 4 years. And I just knew about that Ohio kindred spirit that just would have made you one of the best.
One and the same, man. One and the same. Us Ohio boys know what's up.
Absolutely. You have a great night, man. OH.
Thanks, man. IO.
All right, good night.
You are now listening to the Pancakes and Power Slam Show, hosted by Chris Featherstone and Derek of Crave Wrestling. This is the new Tuesday Night Titans.
Derek, two things. One, 2 weeks is too long. It's great to have you back. And then two, wow.
Wow, exactly. One of the best interviews. I mean, Chris, you keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. This is where we need to be every Tuesday night. Man, another Ohio guy. We love Ohio. It is. What did you say about Joe Montana and the Titans? Question mark.
Joe Montana and the Niners.
Oh, yeah, something like that, I'm sure. But anyway, hey, that was absolutely wonderful. So much to learn from that guy. And it was only here at Pancakes and Power Slam. So we keep it coming, we keep it going. There's nothing better to be. There's nowhere else to be. Tuesday nights, Pancakes and Power Slams. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the Tuesday Night Titans.
That's right, man.
You know who we are, but you don't know why we're here.
You know who we are, but you don't know why we're here.
Hey, yo.
Hey, yo. It's survey time. Yeah, man, I that was absolutely incredible, man. Johnny Gargano, and I always say, you know, I love the interviews of people who are still big fans of the business and that just loves life and just really appreciates just the moments of life, man. And just you can tell that he's one of those guys, and he's, you know, he's an Ohioan, so he just understands how it is to be, you know, to live in such an amazing state. So
he understands the Browns.
Yeah, he does.
And there's nothing to understand.
Exactly. Yes, there's. Yeah, I have the fortune of not being a Browns fan, and I have the fortune of not being a Bengals fan too. Although I know that you can't stand the Bengals.
Hates the Bengals. I hate the Bengals more than I hate the Michigan Wolverines.
I know, man.
Hate them.
That's tough for me to indulge because that's how I feel about Michigan. Period. You know, those Wolverines, man. They're not my kind. But and the thing is, we've talked about this. I favor the Bengals over the Browns typically.
That's why I don't like you that much.
You've been on the show for over 4 years. So obviously, you like me enough.
All right. Well.
So yeah, and the thing is that, you know, the Browns, you know, I want the Browns to succeed. I really do. I mean, I don't dislike the Browns at all. I just am a Titans fan, and I hope that the Browns succeed. I really do. It would be so awesome to see. What was it, 1960? Was that the last time they won the championship?
No, it was 1964.
64? Okay.
Or 65, Jim Brown, right? One of the two. Yeah, Jim Brown. Who cares? Jim Brown, I'm sick of him.
Well, I mean, he's 50 years ago is what y'all have to hold on to right now. So
that was before it was called the Super Bowl. They were four times in a row winners.
Yeah. Wow.
And then
those Brownies.
That was before the Beatles came to America. So it was
those darn Beatles. Because of the Beatles, the Browns, just the past 50 years, the Browns have been nobody because of the Beatles, man. Blame the Beatles. Blame the revolution. You know, we've got Raw to talk about. We've got Payback. We've got the Go Home Show tonight. We've got predictions. For those who don't know, but we've been getting a really, really awesome, awesome interaction level. On Monday nights, I've started to go live on Facebook at 11:15, around 11:15 ish, for the Raw review. We've had some awesome, awesome interaction there. So be sure to catch me live after Raw between 11:15, 11:20 ish, continue to share your comments, and I'll address them and go over Raw. So that's where I do most of the takeaways as far as just some key things, you know, that I noticed within the Raw. So that's on Monday nights. And, of course, we're going to do Sundays and Mondays, but we're going to save the Sundays for pay-per-views. So Payback is this Sunday, so I'll be live after Payback. So check that out. And so I'll be live on Sunday night on Facebook after Payback, and then, of course, Monday after Raw. Continue that. I love it. It's awesome. I love the interaction. I love the Q&A, and it's really fun stuff. So without further ado, we have Raw. So it's in Hartford, Connecticut. So we're going to spend these next 20 minutes, and I just – for the flavor of the week, I just made a short list of top five wrestlers who could be next in line for the NXT Championship. I just made a quick list of that because I found it very interesting. And as far as trivia is concerned, Derek, I have a trivia question for you.
Yeah, you sure do.
I do. So we're going to do some China and Payback trivia today. And the first question goes to you. And that is, what year did China enter her first Royal Rumble?
1999.
Good job.
Yes.
1999 is indeed the correct answer. Open question for the next one. Who were the participants in the Fatal 4-Way WWE title match, WWE World Heavyweight Championship match at Payback 2015? That is the question for the listeners out there. All right, so we have Raw. Shane McMahon, and again, we're going to go through Raw, but we're going to focus on who is facilitating, who is the mastermind, or how is this going to pan out come Payback? Who is the person behind the attacks of Roman Reigns by Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows? So that's where we're going to kind of circle this discussion for the next 15, 20 minutes or so around that. So we're going to go through Raw, and then we're going to create some scenarios. I created a scenario last night on Facebook Live. I'll reiterate it today, and then we'll get Derek's take as well, as far as who is behind this stuff. So start off with Shane McMahon in-ring promo interrupted by Stephanie McMahon. Tells Shane this is the last Raw he will run the show, and Vince will decide at Payback. Shane asks Steph to leave the ring. She refuses. Shane gets security to escort her to the back. Then we get AJ Styles defeating Sheamus. Anderson and Gallows appear on the stage post-match and claps for AJ. And then after that, we get the New Day in-ring promo, interrupted by the Vault Villains, who is interrupted by Enzo and Cass. How you doing? Two teams face off in the ring. The Anderson and Gallows defeating the Usos. The Usos attacked post-match. Roman Reigns makes the save. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn video package. Sami Zayn defeating Rusev. Sami Zayn attacked by Kevin Owens from behind on the ramp. Then we get Apollo Crews defeating Stardust. Again, check out my article on pwmania.com. It's called Why Is Apollo Crews Being Booked So Badly? Oh, man, I just had to write about that because it was just really, really frustrating me. Dean Ambrose in-ring promo calls out Chris Jericho. Jericho comes out, demands an apology. Ambrose facetiously apologizes and attacks Jericho. Jericho rebounds this week. Put him in the walls, Jericho, on the announcer's table. Then we get a Natalya defeating Emma, the China tribute video package, which was pretty good. Miz in-ring promo interrupted by Cesaro to lead to their match coming on Payback. And then Roman Reigns defeating Alberto Del Rio. Interesting ending to that match. We had Anderson Gallows coming in attacking Reigns, AJ coming out to hold them off, and then he gets Superman punched. And then Reigns takes down Anderson and Gallows, and then he eats a phenomenal forearm. So some interesting storytelling here that I can go with. It's kind of like a whodunit. I like the angle. I like the whodunit, who's behind this thing. I like the storytelling going into Payback. This is some creative writing when it comes to who's the person, who's facilitating these attacks. I love that piece of it. You know, when they were in London and this week, I was kind of bored by the matches, to be honest with you. The end was good with that kind of storytelling with Finn, and we kind of saw it like once or twice throughout the night. But I don't know. I just kind of wish that there were a couple other elements within Raw that would keep me intrigued, because we just saw just regular matches that just didn't really woo me at all. But overall, I think the creative aspect when it comes to that is interesting, and that piece kind of sparks my interest when it comes to Payback.
Yeah, I agree. The Raw was a bit lackluster, kind of the same. You know, Shane comes out, Stephanie walks out, and Steph off by the security. Yeah, well, that's great, all in good. We're going to see what's going to happen to Shane come Payback. We all thought that was where we're going to find that out at the end of WrestleMania, so they were able to extend that out for another few days. Yeah, okay. I mean, it's still a good angle, and I want Shane to come out the bigger man, but it's kind of in game by now. Styles and Sheamus, you know, again, like you said, Gallows and Anderson, you know, what's going on between these guys? It's kind of hard to depict. You know, you don't want AJ Styles to be the heel so fast. It's his time to, you know, it's just coming into the WWE and seeing what's going on, but, you know, it could lead to something, because the thing with him and Y2J was absolutely nothing. It was garbage. And people kind of want to forget that. Which is good, because Y2J and Ambrose seems to be a lot better fit than AJ Styles and Y2J. So we'll see how that culminates. Zayn and Rusev, it was okay. You can never disagree with an Owens and Zayn feud. I mean, it's going to be great no matter which way you come at it. So I'm not too upset about that. Apollo Crews, absolutely agree. They're booking him horribly. I mean, he's got nothing to do with Stardust. And the thing, throwing Dusty Rhodes' name in there, didn't really do anything to help him out.
It didn't.
The China tribute was great. And, you know, China, whatever you want to say about her, you know, she's China. She was the ninth wonder of the world. She was the original member of DX. I have a T-shirt with her, Shawn Michaels, and Triple H on it, and I would wear it proudly today if it still fit. But I got that shirt back in 1998, so that was a few years ago. Reigns and Del Rio. Hey, you know, I don't think anything of the League of Nations anymore. I think they're pretty much past their prime. But again, with the Drew Gallows and Anderson, and what's going on with this? It's interesting. AJ Styles still has a lot to show with the WWE. I'm not tired of him yet. I'm not bored with him. So he still has a lot to do with the WWE, and he's still a ripe character in that fold, in that mix. So, I mean, they haven't really done bad with his character. Starting off with Y2J was a little weird, but he can rebound from it, and I'm expecting to see that coming up pretty soon.
Yeah. By the way, right answer, good job. The four people were the Seth Rollins, Randy Orton, Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose. AJ's got he's got some potential going forward. I just didn't think that the Jericho feud did anything. And the crazy part of it was the Jericho feud culminated with him losing at WrestleMania, so that didn't get you over. I mean, I was a fan of it because I'm a Jericho guy, but I still don't think that really did anything. I think that they kind of pulled the rug underneath themselves and said, you know, there's a couple conspiracy theories going around saying that, you know, I've heard some theories that said, you know, Vince McMahon, he AJ Styles isn't a WWE guy. He's a TNA guy, you know, so basically he wanted to just kind of, you know, take a jab at AJ in that sense and have him lose at WrestleMania, his first WrestleMania, because of that. You know, that it sounds petty. You know, I can draw theories of what Vince McMahon has done from past instances to, you know, I can see that possibly. I won't I won't outrule that. I won't just totally disqualify that theory. I'll say that much. It seems petty. It seems like there wouldn't be something that he would go that far down to do, but I wouldn't totally disqualify it. But,
that's very Eric Bischoff of him to do.
Yeah, very much. But you know, I, at the same time, and I've said this before on the show, you know, you just can't. It started off wrong. I think it started off wrong from the very beginning. I think AJ Styles and Chris Jericho, that, I mean, it just could have been, because to me, the match didn't really deliver as much as I expected it to. Not necessarily because of the actual in-ring action at WrestleMania. To me, it was because that was their fourth match, and it took a lot of the steam away because they were fighting on all the pay-per-views, you know, and so it really took the steam away from me in that regard. But like I said, I think it was just poorly booked from the very beginning. I would have been okay if they, like I said before, I would have been okay if they would have won the tag team titles at Fastlane. And lost them at Roadblock. I think the turn should have happened at Roadblock, because we got Jericho versus Jack Swagger in Canada, and Jack Swagger was supposed to be the babyface, chanting "We the People" to Canadians. That made perfect sense, and it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible booking. It would have added to the intrigue. It would have caused, you know, a lot more footage for Roadblock. They should have won it at Fastlane and lost it at Roadblock. I mean, if they really wanted that. Now, I'm a New Day guy. I love the New Day, and I'm okay with them, you know, on the track to having a 1-year title reign. I don't know if they're going to keep it until SummerSlam. I would be okay with that, but they've kept it for, you know, 8 months now. I love it. I love long title reigns when it's done properly. So, but I think it would have been good to help this angle between Jericho and Styles. It should have been that way. They should have won the tag team titles, the whole Y2AJ thing, and then all of a sudden, you know, they lose the titles. Then the codebreaker happens at Roadblock, sets up for, you know, the match at. And the thing is, you could have easily done something. You could have had, you know, even if you wanted to have your Jericho versus AJ Styles match in the beginning, I mean, the Raw after Mania, you could have even done this in Dallas. You could have had, not the Raw after Mania, but the Raw after the Royal Rumble. The New Day were still heels at the time, so you could have easily had the New Day, you know, losing a non-title match to someone, or winning a match and getting kind of laid out by a tag team or something like that, and they could have easily been upset. They could have been the match before AJ and Jericho, and you could have had the New Day come out and just be bitter and just attack Jericho and AJ. That would have been the start of the feud between them two, the tag team feud between the two teams. You could have easily done that. And you could have had Jericho and AJ come together for common good, and they were both attacked because of New Day's frustration, you know, after the segment before. That could have led to the Y2AJ thing and a tag team title, and could have done it that way. But instead, you have four matches, and then, you know, it just really didn't mean anything after that. So I wasn't impressed at all with Jericho and AJ. Now Jericho's, and we're going to do predictions here in a minute, but now Jericho's in a feud with Dean Ambrose, and I'm not too wild about this feud either, to be honest with you, because I mean, if Dean Ambrose beats Jericho, and then now what?
What do you mean, now what?
I mean, what happens when Dean Ambrose beats
Jericho?
Well,
you know, I mean, it's a feud that probably should have happened a while back. And if Jericho beats Ambrose, that's going to make Ambrose look that much weak. But it's also going to make Y2J look that much weak. So, I mean, I guess I get your point. That's right. Because nobody's going to really benefit from the end of this. It's going to be a great match, regardless of who you got. So the best thing you can do with this match is just have it go the distance. Why not make it an Iron Man match or make it a last man standing? That way, at least both of them get a bit of retribution from it and make it pretty much a showcase of whatever the payback. So that's the best thing you can really do with that. That's the only ideas I've got in my head with it. It's just to make it go the distance. Both of them can just showcase because both of them can go. They can make the whole entire pay-per-view if they just really do everything that they've got. Ambrose was robbed at WrestleMania. He could have had a lot longer match, done a few more stunts, but they just let Brock Lesnar run him over. So it's, I mean, I don't know what else they've got, Chris. It's just let him go the distance. So that way, at least both of them can save face and look good for the WK. You cannot have Dean Ambrose look like a wuss. Two pay-per-views in a row, and you can't do the same thing for Jericho, especially coming off a win on WrestleMania.
Yeah, yeah. One more question, one more trivia question for the evening. What pay-per-view and gimmick match did China beat Jeff Jarrett? What pay-per-view and gimmick match did China beat Jeff Jarrett?
How about keeping match at WrestleSummerSlam?
Well, that match.
Housekeeping match.
That wasn't toward you, but you get anyways.
No.
Yeah, you do. It was a good housekeeping match, but it was not at SummerSlam.
Good housekeeping match.
It was
King of the Ring.
King of the Ring. Any more guesses?
In your house. Summer pay-per-view. It was a summer pay-per-view.
It was No Mercy.
No Mercy? Oh, that doesn't count.
That's not a summer pay-per-view either. So, you get one more.
Well, neither are you. So.
Neither am I. What?
Well, I don't know. Titans suck.
Well, neither am I a summer pay-per-view. So, yeah.
Good house something. So.
Yeah, good housekeeping match, No Mercy of 1999. And, of course, Jeff Jarrett went to Nitro the night after. And,
it was a pretty controversial match. Behind the scenes, that was big.
Yeah, it was. It was. There was a lapse in contract time frame with Jarrett and allowed him because, you know, typically it's the 90-day thing when you get let go or when there's any type of separation with the WWE. You usually have a 90-day no compete clause, and similar to Lex Luger. Jeff Jarrett, somehow he was able to fall through the cracks on that clause and not have to go through that. So he was able to be on Raw the next day and just whacked. I don't remember who it was. I think it was, for some reason, Buff Bagwell is coming to mind as far as just debuting and just whacking him with the guitar.
Buff Bagwell, that's a whole, listen up, slap nuts. Yeah, that was Jeff Jarrett. Who would go to WCW? I mean, seriously, especially at that time.
I mean, the money was good in '99 in WCW. It was still relatively competitive.
They were on their downfall. Nitro's downfall around that time.
Yeah, I would say '99 when Foley won the title was really the breaking point of the Monday Night Wars as far as when it became just one dimensional. I agree with that. 96 to 98, because I wouldn't even say 95 was really big. 96 to 98 was really the biggest moments of the Monday Night Wars. 99 was starting to see the downward spiral of WCW. But here's the thing. I'd imagine Jeff Jarrett is thinking in his head, so you're having me lose against China in this good housekeeping match. No way. So,
I see your point. Yeah, it was kind of ridiculous.
It was ridiculous. First of all, a good housekeeping match. I mean, that just seems so, you know, stereotypical and just so, you know, it just didn't make any sense, you know, for that type of match to happen. It wasn't very it wasn't very female friendly, I don't think it was, from a gimmick standpoint. But, you know, a female won it. You know, a female won the good housekeeping match. So that means she's a better housekeeper? I mean, what exactly does that mean?
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah, sure.
Look at her.
But, yeah. But, yeah, I, and then I would imagine why Jared wanted to go after that, because that was just kind of interesting. And you know, it was the Russo thing, and Russo's been notorious with very eccentric gimmick matches. By the way, I listened to his rant about China. If you get a chance, check that out. It was very poignant, very emotional. But as a strong Christian, man, I'm praying for Vince Russo, and I've reached out to Vince Russo before, and hopefully I'll get a chance to talk to him. He actually he has his own podcast, but he does something with the company that I used to write for a couple of years. And I try to reach out, and I'll try again. But yeah, man, I'm really praying for Vince Russo, because he shared some interesting stuff, shared some very personal stuff during that particular episode. That as a psychologist, his methods of coping with them can be very damaging and very psychologically detrimental to any type of improvement. So if you're listening to this show, Vince Russo, I invite you to reach out to me. I am praying for you, sir. And I know that you as a Christian, I know that you will make it through. And I know that God loves you so much that he wants to meet you where you are in your struggle. So praying for you, man. All right. So let's go through Payback, man. Let's see what Payback is. So give me a 1 minute synopsis of who you think is the mastermind behind these attacks on Roman Reigns by Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson.
I mean, obviously it's Anderson and Gallows. I really can't picture them putting AJ Styles behind any of this, just for the fact because AJ Styles is the cool, the go-to guy, the guy that WWE really needs at this point to make him stay the course. So they come in. I mean, it's almost like, I remember when Fatu used to have these people come out and, you know, just kind of stand there at the ringside. And who are these people? What are they going to do? They're trying to turn Fatu into this big drug dealer or whatever. Yeah, that's not going to happen. So, I mean, pretty much AJ Styles is just going to stay AJ Styles, and Gallows and Anderson is going to end up being the bad guys. I mean, that's how I see it. I don't see anything too big coming out of this for the fact
but
that...
But who's behind it, though? Who's behind? Because AJ said that he's not... He said that he's not behind it. There has to be someone...
He's not behind it. Yeah. Well, I don't have an answer for you, Chris. I think it's Gallows and Anderson. I think that they're behind it. I think it's their thing. It's going to cause a rift between themselves and AJ Styles. So, for the most part, it's kind of a afterthought for the most part. It's just something to make Roman Reigns seem still more like the hero, that he's going to overcome the odds and make it through this. So, I mean, to me, it's just small potatoes. I don't think it's really that big of a deal. It's going to end up being Gallows and Anderson, and AJ Styles is going to turn his back on him, and probably Roman Reigns and AJ Styles are going to become a team to go against the two. That's the thing. I don't see anything much coming out of this. Prove me wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But for the most part, it's not really anything that is going to set the course for the WWE in the next couple months, other than they're probably going to just try to keep Roman Reigns trying to stay face. Him and AJ Styles are going to team together, and maybe this is going to cause a rift between him and Ambrose, because Ambrose, I thought, was your best friend. All of a sudden, you and AJ Styles are hanging out. So that's kind of where I get this take from this. And it's Gallows and Anderson are acting on their own, and that's just the way it's going to be.
No, I don't see that. I don't see them acting on their own. I think, you know, the whole point of it is that, you know, they're having a leader of some sort to have. They're henchmen of some sort. So they're being someone's henchmen. They're planted off as AJ. But as I said on the Facebook Live, which I encourage people to watch on the Crave Wrestling page, Crave Wrestling Facebook page, I mapped it out of how Shane McMahon can be the guy, can be the person behind it all. So check that out on the Facebook page. Real quick, Flavor of the Week. Just going to take a real quick moment of this list here, and then we'll get into the predictions.
It is now time for the Flavor of the Week.
All right, top five wrestlers who could be next in line for the NXT Championship, and not including Finn Balor and Samoa Joe. So Samoa Joe won it last week, and congratulations to that. Finn Balor, of course, is up there for a rematch. But five, I'll put Tommaso Ciampa because of his ROH background and his popularity. Three, I put four, I put Zack Ryder. Just because he was making a lot of noise in NXT, won the Intercontinental Championship, became just a nobody that quick the night after. So he should go back to NXT and be one of the main eventers there. Three, actually put Johnny Gargano because he's so over with the crowd. He's so infectious. He's such an awesome talent. Two, I put Austin Aries just because of his legacy and his experience. And one, I put Shinsuke Nakamura, which, of course, they're going to do that. Sooner than later. All right, predictions for Payback. Ziggler and Corbin, who you have?
I've got Corbin.
Corbin.
It's a shame, but Corbin.
I have Corbin as well. So who wins the tag team title tournament, Vault Villains or Enzo and Cass?
I actually like the Vault Villains a lot, but I think Enzo and Cass are going to win.
I have the Vault Villains. Because New Day's are baby faces, so they're going to kind of even that out. Women's Championship, Charlotte and Natalya.
I got Charlotte winning still.
I was back and forth on that. I said Natalya earlier. Now I'm kind of feeling Charlotte as far as the winner. I'm gonna stick with Natalya. I think they're going to do Natalya, and then Charlotte wins it back at Extreme Rules on May 22nd, I believe that is. All right, real quick, Zayn Owens.
I got Owens winning that one.
I say Zayn just because Zayn just coming in and losing all these times. It just hurts him so much. Ambrose Jericho.
I've got Ambrose winning it.
Oh, yeah, Ambrose as well. Intercontinental title match, Miz Cesaro.
Cesaro.
I have Miz and Kalisto and Ryback, the pre-show for the U.S. title.
Who cares? I think Ryback's actually going to win this one.
Yeah, I have him too. This is kind of like a Night of Champions match. All the titles are online.
Yeah, really.
Night of Champions pay-per-view. Yeah. So Roman Reigns, AJ Styles. So you got
Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns as well. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. Absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for listening to the show, Johnny Gargano. Go follow him on Instagram, Twitter, and every other place. Until next week, enjoy Payback. Sunday night, we'll be live on Facebook. Be involved. Let us know your thoughts. And until then, enjoy the rest of your week. God bless. Goodbye.